Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. I'm sweating already. Amen. Amen. I don't know if because of hot in here, the Holy Ghost is already moving. Amen. Amen. Let's give our children another hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you this morning and say thank you, Master. We're so thankful, Master, because you allowed us out to your house of worship again. And as the musician and the director has stated, you have asked us to come out and praise and worship your holy name because you truly are worthy. For you have seen us through trials and tribulations and journeys that we were perhaps not prepared for. You have covered us in everything. So we come this morning just to offer up a little bit of thanks. We can't give you everything, but we can say hallelujah. We can call on your name. So today, Master, we come to give you praise and come to give you worship. And as we give unto you, we pray that you give unto us that which we need to make us stronger while we're here. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We now have our hymn 291. Amen. 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 Sing, baby. Sing, baby. Sing. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Well, surely he is a good God. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning and say thank you, Master. We are always grateful, for we appreciate you. We're thankful for who you are in our lives and what you do for us. And Master, we come today, Master, praying that when we find ourselves in situations where we quite don't know what to pray for, because life is so heavy, the road can be so rugged, and our sight can be so darkened by what we see, and perhaps we don't quite know what to say to you because we're in a situation that we ourselves cannot control. And we don't know what to say to you. We ask now, Master, that we allow our spirit to allow the Holy Spirit to speak for us. For you said in your word that, Master, there's an interceder who intercede for us when we don't know what to pray for. So I come now, Master, today to ask that we move our wills out of the way and allow our spirit to connect with your spirit. For if our spirit connect with your spirit, everything that we need shall be done, because the words that will be spoken to you will be spoken directly to heaven. So we come this morning and say thank you for making a way when we don't know there's a way being made for us, Master. We're so thankful that you're such a good God that even when we don't know what to say, you have something placed in us that know what to say for us. Thank you for being such a good God. Even when we fail, we're victorious. Thank you, Master, for being a God that made a way for us, even when we don't know that the way has been made. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We ask now that our officer will come for the purpose of tithing and offering. Abba, Father God, we come now to say thank you for these gifts that have been given here today. And we pray, Master, that we use them to edify and to uplift your kingdom. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let the heart say amen. Come on, let's give our babies a hand, clap of praise, amen. Anybody here glad to know that Jesus loves you? Oh, come on, we can do better than that. Anybody here glad to know that Jesus loves you? Amen. He loves you despite all of you. Somebody ought to give him some praise, because some of us are not easy to love, but yet and still, he loves us. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Let's give our babies one more hand clap of praise. Amen. For a job well done. Amen. Amen. They're singing their hearts out today. Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you, when they're up there looking at you, they need for you to reciprocate back unto them what they're giving to you. If they're giving you joy, let them know that they're giving you joy. Don't just sit there with a blank look on your face. Amen. Because it makes it harder for them to sing. If you don't believe that, you ought to know that. When you sit there with a blank look on your face, it makes it tough on them. Grown folks, we don't care. But babies, it makes it hard for them. And then you wonder why they go and do stuff, because you don't realize you conditioned them to be the way that they are. Amen. But if we show them love, amen, when they show us love, it'll spring more love. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, very familiar passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, and it reads, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might be depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Amen. Amen. For a few moments, I want to talk with you from the subject, there is strength in your infirmities. There is strength in your infirmities. And my proposition to you today, if you don't get anything else, is this: the perception of life, or should I say life's battles, for a Christian should have heavenly distortion. Let me say that again. The perception of life's battles for a Christian should have heavenly distortion. In other words, what you see, you should know it's really not what you see when you're a child of God. Reverend, that don't make no sense. I understand. Hopefully it makes sense by the time we finish. And I understand, because even when I was young, I used to hear people say, you know, in our dark clouds, there's a silver lining. You know, as a child, I didn't understand what they were saying. It confused me because it didn't make any sense to me. How can I find good when there's bad? When things are falling around me just out of control, how am I supposed to find that which is good in that chaos? I couldn't understand it. It puzzled me, but it stayed with me all of my life. And as I grew older and started sojourning for myself, I started to get a better understanding of what they were saying. They were saying that I ought to be optimistic about every situation in my life.
I should always look for the positive. I should always look for the good. Because when you do that, good things come to you. Anybody feel that way? It confused me until then because I realized that that theory asked me to see success and failure, to find good and bad, to find strength in that which was weak, which is difficult for us because as humans, when we see things that are weak, we have a tendency to pounce on it. We have a tendency to attack it versus help it. And I found myself even in that predicament this week in my job where I found that there were some weak agents that I had. And instead of me initially thinking good things and how to help them, my initial thought was, I need to get rid of them. I need to let them go. But then God pricked my heart and says, where is the development? Where is your heart? Why can't you see that they have strengths? But you have to help to develop them. You have to help them to work through things because you don't know why they are as weak as they are. All you see is what they have to do for you at work, but you don't know what they do at home before they get to you. So instead of pouncing on the weakness, I ought to find the goodness and the strength in their weakness. Children of God, we ought to look for the goodness in all of our in all of our bad, and we should find the strength in all of our weakness. If you're like me, I have a tendency to pounce on myself more than anyone else. You can ask my wife. No one can critique me like I critique myself. I always look for where I'm weak because I want to make that place where I'm weak better. I've been conditioned that way because I played athletics all of my life, and they always taught you need to be better every day. How do you get better every day? You have to focus on what's considered to be weak and make that stronger. Well, I come to tell you that when you look at a Christian life, God wants you to think just the opposite. Lord, have mercy. How confusing is that? Well, God wants me to consider my infirmities as a sign of strength. Look at our text here. Paul helps us to see something that perhaps we have not seen before. Because when we look at the background of this text, we find that Paul had a very complicated relationship with the church at Corinth. They questioned the validity of his apostleship. They questioned why he was even in ministry. Many of them said that he was in ministry for himself. He was looking to gain selfish riches off of them. And Paul replied back to them, "Have I even charged you one penny? I haven't charged you one cent for one thing. And even when I sent those who were standing there for me when I was not able to make it, they charged you nothing. But yet and still, you question the validity of my ministry. You question who I am." It's amazing, no matter how good you do in this world, there will always be somebody. Always be someone who's going to question what you're doing. They're going to bring in question how convicted you are. They're going to bring in question how much knowledge you have. They're going to bring in question even if you should have the position that you have. I want to tell you, don't be amazed when it happens. Be glad when it happens. Why, Reverend, should I be glad? Because if they are questioning you in such a fashion, you must understand that God has a blessing for you and the enemy just don't want you to reach it. His job is to make you stumble and to make you fall. His job is to keep you from seeing what God has for you. So if someone is coming against you, don't be upset. Be happy. Go ahead and start thanking God. Go ahead and give God the blessing because God is about to bless you. Paul said they questioned me. And because of the rockiness of their relationship, Paul actually wrote them four letters. We only have two recorded in the canon. But Paul wrote them four letters because of the rockiness of their relationship. And in this second letter, we find Paul trying to let them know just how powerful his ministry is. But he did it in such a way he wouldn't offend them. You know, sometimes you have to do things to draw people, even when they're against you. My mama used to tell me, baby, you can get more flies with honey. Sometimes you just need to be sweet to your enemy. And before you know it, your enemy will be your friend. Well, Paul, in this second letter, opens this chapter by trying to get them to see how powerful his ministry is. He says this, he says that I know a man from 14 years ago. He was speaking about himself in third person. I know of a man who 14 years ago, who was so caught up in the spirit that God pulled him into the third heavens. Lord have mercy. And he says that the spirit was so powerful, I don't know if he took the entire body of the man to the third heavens, or he just took the man's spirit to the third heavens. But he says, however, God knows which happened. And Paul was trying to let them know the power of his ministry without offending them. He says, this man was caught up and heard some things that's not good. Or shall I say that most earthly ears can't hear. He was given some things that most earthly mouths cannot speak. But Paul says, that is not what I want to boast about. He says, if I'm going to boast about anything, I'm going to boast about the infirmities that's in my body. Lord have mercy. Or shall I say this, in my flesh. And when we say this, in my flesh, we don't know if he's talking about the human body or he's talking about the nature of man or the essence of man. Or the mind of man, or the soul of man. Because sometimes our flesh does not line up with God. Sometimes our flesh is without divine influence. In other words, sometimes we react without consulting God or getting God's advice on what we are about to do. Paul says, if I'm going to brag on anything, I'm going to brag on the infirmities that God allowed in my life. Why would you do that, Paul? Paul shares that because those infirmity teaches me something. Now, shall I say teach me something for you English professors? Sometimes I'm going to Robinize a word. I'm sorry. I'm going to Robinsonize some words. Because when you're up here, you're feeling it, and sometimes the words just going to come out. And so forgive me when I make mistakes. Or shall I say when I send my IM, sometimes I say, excuse the typo. But Paul wants us to know that if he's going to brag on anything, he's going to brag on his weaknesses. Because he learned that through life, his weaknesses is when he found power. Anybody here got some weaknesses in your life? Anybody here got some things in your life you're always focusing on? And sometimes it frustrates you because you haven't gotten better in that weakness. Well, Paul wants you to know that he ask God three times, remove this thing from me. Paul says, I was so tired of it. I had to ask him more than once. And you must understand, when Paul made these requests, he was praying to God. And the Bible teaches us that when we pray to God and we pray fervently, that when we reach out to God fervently, the Bible says that God hears the prayer of the righteous. But guess what? That doesn't mean that God has to do what you asked of him. So when God says no to you, what would you do? Because sometimes God will say no. And you must understand, God is not just God because he says yes to your request, but God is no because he will also say no. Because sometimes we are not ready for what we're asking for. Sometimes we're not prepared to receive that blessing, and we must understand that in order for us to receive that blessing, we must get stronger. So God will say no. So you can keep focusing on that thing. Keep working on that thing. Become better at that thing. So that weakness gives you power because you keep working because you recognize there is a weakness. I want you to know after every sermon, I'm concerned. Because I critique the heck out of every sermon I preach because I want to do the best God ever wants me to do. Because if I can do all that God needs for me to do, then I can reach you. And I don't take that lightly. So every time I preach, I look at the weaknesses of my sermon so I can become better. And every time I look at that, I get stronger and stronger and stronger. I want you to know there's strength in your infirmities. Sometimes those infirmities are not to punish you, but they're to make you better. They're to make you stronger. And God will use people who you don't think he will use. Paul says here in the text, he said, God sent a messenger from Satan. Don't be surprised that God will use your enemy to make you stronger. In every situation, you ought to have an enemy. I hear you saying, Reverend, that don't make any sense. Well, when you have people who are against you, you have more of a tendency to cross your T's and dot your I's. You have a tendency to be more thorough because you know when you bring that to them and put it before them, they're going to question you in such a way they're going to question the validity of why you're even here. So when you go before them, you have everything laid out because that enemy is pushing those buttons. They're not pushing them by themselves. God allowed them to push your buttons. How you know that, Reverend? Look at Job. Satan asked to push Job's buttons. And what did God do? He granted it. Pharaoh pushed Moses' buttons. God allowed Pharaoh's heart to be hardened. You hear what I'm saying to you? In order to push Moses' button so Moses can become what God intended for Moses to become. There is strength in your weaknesses. When your enemy comes against you, don't be afraid. Give God praise. Because if they are coming against you, there's a miracle on the way. But let me share this with you before I close. That miracle depends on your response. The miracle is already there for you to have it. God has already planned it to be so. Now, some of us got miracles that are stacking on top of each other because we still haven't learned the lesson yet. We keep going through the same vicious cycle over and over again because we haven't learned our lesson. But Paul wants you to know that if your response is appropriate, even if that weakness is still there, you will accomplish everything God intends for you to accomplish. Look at what Paul says in the text. He says this, after he says that he asked God three times for it to be removed, and God didn't remove it. And God said unto him, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul came back with something very powerful. Paul says, then most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look, children of God, when you respond in an appropriate manner, you are glorifying Christ. Because people are watching you. I want you to know, even if you don't think people are watching you, they are watching you. Especially when you tell them, I go to church. You ain't got to say what church you go to. All you got to say is the C word. The C word now offends people. People don't like talking about church. So when you say, I go to church, the first thing they want to start doing is looking to see what your weaknesses are. Hmm? Because they love to call you a hypocrite. They want to say that you are a hypocrite. They'll watch you in everything that you do. And when you're going through, they're definitely watching you even more. Because even if you don't tell them, guess what? They know you're going through. People can sense when you're going through stuff. Because although you don't realize it, you act differently. You talk differently. Your mood is different. How you carry yourself is different. And then you must understand that we're once again not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against principles, powers, and spirits in high places. So when you're going through, you must know there's somebody who's assigned to you to push your button. And Paul says that I would rather glory in my infirmities so that I can shine, so that they will know that the power of Jesus is on me. So when you find yourself dealing with something difficult, if your response is the appropriate response, God says, I have a miracle waiting on you. Paul says, when I find myself in a tight situation, I don't bow my head. When I find myself having to deal with something that I don't want to deal with, I don't bow my head. He said, I go ahead and give God the praise. That makes no sense, doesn't it? Not to human nature, it doesn't. But to a Christian, it ought to make sense. Because if God is your God, you must understand he's designed everything for you. Which means no matter what situation you find yourself in, you will be victorious. So you ought to go ahead and start praising God, because that storm may be there right now, but just like last night, that storm came rushing through here. The storms in your life will rush right on through. Paul says, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me, which means stay with me. Let me tell you something. When you respond appropriately, when you walk with the power of God. You don't have to tell folks you're a Christian. They'll see it. Because they'll see the power of God carrying you. Because some stuff you're going to go through, nobody knows how to resolve it but God. And when those people see God pull you through, that's the best sermon you can ever preach. Paul says, I want the power of Christ to rest on me. And then he says this in 10. Therefore, I take pleasure. Wait a minute. He said, I take pleasure in my infirmities. Paul says, when my infirmities come, I'm delighted. Because what I know is God is about to use me in my situation to speak to somebody else. My life is going to be the example for their life. So when they are going through, they can see how I handle going through. So when they go through, they'll be blessed for seeing how I went through. Some of these things are not just for you. Some of these things are for the folks who are around you. And guess what? When God allowed that thing to come in your life, it's because God trusts you with the miracle. Wait a minute, Reverend. So you're telling me God punished me because he can trust me? It's not punishment. You got to remember that you're God's workmanship. What do you do to people who are your best people? You give them more work. Amen, Singfield. When you find people who are your best workers, you don't take work from them. You give them more work. So what you got to understand is if you are who God called you to be, that means you can handle things that other people can't handle. And because you can handle it, God would allow you to have to deal with that thing, because when you go through, did you hear what I said? I said go through. Because when you go through, you're going to go through in such a way that God would get all the praise and all the glory. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Paul says, I find pleasure not only in my infirmities, but in reproaches. When I'm embarrassed, I find pleasure. Some of us are embarrassed because of things that happen in our lives. And we're embarrassed because we think folks can see it. Let me tell you something. I don't care what folks can see. As long as you know what God is doing in your life, let them talk. Because guess what? They don't know what they're talking about. That's why when folks talk about me, I don't get upset. Because you're not in my house, so you don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about what you want it to be, not what it really is. So Paul says, I delight in my reproaches. I don't allow those things to keep me from doing God's will. And then he said, I delight in my necessities when there's lack in my life and I need help somewhere. Paul says, I delight in those things because I know help is coming. And then he said, I delight in persecution and in my distresses. When there's pressure pushing me, Paul says, I'm delighted because I know God is soon on his way. And he says that I delight in him for what? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And the reason why you are strong is because you have finally got out of the way. A lot of times we haven't received our blessing because we're in the way. Our will is in the way. God said, if you get out of the way, then I can do some things. If you let me handle it, I'll do some things. Paul says, when I'm in this battle, I realize that if I give it all over to God, and if I give it all to Jesus, I know I shall be victorious. Anybody here know there's victory in the power of God? Anyone wants to be victorious in all situations? Then listen to what Paul is telling you. Stop thinking like you're human. Because as a child of God, you're not just human. There's a part of you that's supernatural. That part is the Spirit of God that's in you. And if you let him think, he'll do some stuff that you didn't see coming. That same Paul, I want you to know, wrote Romans 8:28, where it says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them which are called according to his purpose. Anyone in here want the glory of God in your life? Huh? Anyone in here wants to walk in the glory of God? Anybody in here want the glory of God to cover you? Anybody in here want the glory of God to keep you? But then give God all of you in every situation and stand back and watch God work. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there will be any, the time is now. The Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely there shall come a time when God cannot be found. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there are one who wants to join today, this is the time. Sister, give
Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Let us bow. Our Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for this day. Thank you for your glory being in our lives. And we pray, Master, that as we go forth in this world, that we go forth with power, knowing that at every turn the enemy is busy, but at every turn you are there as well. And if we can walk in you, we'll be victorious in all situations and all circumstances. For there is only one true power in this world, and that power belongs to you. So we pray now that as we leave, that you watch over us, protect us, cover us, keep us until we can return back to this place where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. Now all hearts sing.